And I still think like this is possible now. This is like the Apple iOS store basically back in the day where there was nothing yet. There weren't apps. You could literally make money by just making a flashlight app, a calculator app, a fart app, whatever. Like, this is the golden age of AI and SEO combined with each other. And this is probably not even going to work in 2 years anymore, because all these niches are going to be found. They're going to be filled in by people just doing all these things. Because it feels like with SEO, like, I don't know what your experience with it is, but like, with the first to market, the first to build the backlinks, the first to get the domain names and stuff, they will mostly stay on the top of the market in that sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, you know, this is one of those things where it's a window of opportunity. And I almost was shocked that you shared it, because this is a pretty low risk, high impact idea that a really, really small team could do. There's a couple things I look at when I'm like, should I go into this space? And one of them is... That's true. I was telling Danny that, you know, this is 8 a.m. for me, and like, I don't take meetings this early just because I like to wake up, get into the deep creative flow. But for Danny, you make exceptions.
Nice. I don't take any meetings after 6, and this is 8 p.m. for me. Normally I already be sleeping because we wake up at 5. I got a dog scratching my face at 5 a.m. in the morning. But I obviously make a exception for Greg in this podcast. So
I appreciate it. So what do you got for us today?
Yeah, what do you want to spitball about? What ideas do you? I've been listening to a few episodes, and I think everyone is just rambling on good ideas. So you probably know what your audience is most interested in. I put like a few things in it.
I want to start with the AI insert keyword generator.
Nice.
I think that's really interesting.
Cool. So you would just like to me to like just explain the idea, how I would do it, how to start.
Yep.
Cool. So I think, so a little background about me. I'm really big in SEO, and I'm big in programming in the sense at like combining those things and using AI. So I just love to log into ahrefs.com. Type in some random keywords and basically figure out where there's a lot of search intent and very low keyword difficulty. Basically, Ahrefs gives you like, it gives a score between 0 and 100. If it's on 100, it's really hard to compete in. You don't want to do it. If it's on 0, it basically shows there's no competition. You could basically make a website for it and rank pretty quickly. So you want to find keywords that are easy to rank for, right? The issue used to be that you have to then make the website, fill the content and stuff like that. So for example, I had a website, landingfolio.com, which is a website inspiration gallery. You can rank pretty quickly on that back in the days, but it takes you a lot of time to make the content. But now with AI, man, you can just rapid fire and let things generate in that sense. So what I would do, and what we do a lot, and I've done this before with AI tattoos. So that's why I said like AI keyword generator. For example, you could do like AI tattoos. If you go into Ahrefs, you log in and you basically type in tattoos, you get thousands and thousands and thousands of long tail keywords for example, for like butterfly tattoo or dragon tattoo, bird tattoo. There's like thousands and thousands of those. What you then can do is basically use AI, use Stable Diffusion, use Midjourney, whatever the latest hype is right now. And basically just start generating all that content and start filling these pages and automatically start building these directories of like butterfly tattoos, where you put like all these tattoo examples of butterflies on. And basically that way organically grow your website, and then make a tool where users can do that themselves paid and use that content to display on the website again. So it's basically user generated content using AI to fill your website. And within a month, you're probably going to generate like hundreds of thousands of pieces of content. Google's going to love it. Google's going to send traffic towards it. And this is, for example, we did it with a tattoo. And I think we hit like 10,000 MRR before I sold it, because I was focusing on another startup. But you can do this for probably anything. that's AI related combined with low difficulty content.
Yeah, and you could spin up an agency. I know you're not a huge agency fan to in terms of businesses, but you can spin up an agency where it's like, we'll actually go and build this for you and we'll build some of these products. So there's like a lower ticket idea here where it's just access to the tool, and then there's a higher ticket of like a done for you service.
So you would, because you have an SEO agency, right? Like, yeah. Is this something you could offer? Like, would you, like, why wouldn't you do it yourself for your own content, for your own
companies? We actually have been building a suite of, we've been building a lot of this stuff. And so you're talking about boringmarketing.com. So we've been quietly just like building a lot of these tools. So this is the direction we're going in. So yes, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a believer.
Interesting.
You know, I'm invested in it. And the beauty about this is once you capture an entrepreneur who wants to build one of these ideas, they need more than just SEO. They need a bunch of different services, and you can build and tools. They need a bunch of tools and they need a bunch of services. So it's a super high valued potential customer. And that's the way to think about it, right? Is like, you want to think about, how do I build a business with a high value customer? And this is like one great way to do it.
Yeah. And I still think like this is possible now. This is like the Apple iOS store basically back in the day, where there was nothing yet. There weren't apps. You could literally make money by just making a flashlight app, a calculator app, a fart app, whatever. Like, this is the golden age of AI and SEO combined with each other. And this is probably not even going to work in 2 years anymore, because all these niches are going to be found. They're going to be filled in by people just doing all these things, because it's all highly automated, right? So now being able, because it feels like with SEO, like, I don't know what your experience with it is, like, but the first to market, the first to build the backlinks, the first to get the domain names and stuff, they will mostly stay on the top of the market in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, this is one of those things where it's a window of opportunity. Quick ad break. Let me tell you about a business I invested in. It's called boringmarketing.com. So a few years ago, I met this group of people that were some of the best SEO experts in the world. They were behind getting some of the biggest companies found on Google. And the secret sauce is they've got a set of technology and AI that could help you outrank your competition. So for my own businesses, I wanted that. I didn't want to have to rely on Mark Zuckerberg. I didn't want to depend on ads to drive customers to my businesses. I wanted to rank high in Google. That's why I like SEO, and that's why I use boringmarketing.com, and that's why I invested in it. They're so confident in their approach that they offer a 30-day sprint with 100% money-back guarantee. Who does that nowadays? So check it out. Highly recommend boringmarketing.com. I won't say the exact term, but even today, actually this morning, there was a particular idea I wanted to go build that I was on a few tools, including Ahrefs.
Yeah, how do you call a name?
Yeah, it's hard. I just I type it, I don't say it. Saying it, especially at 8 a.m. is like, with like one sip of coffee, like, oh my God. It's hard. So don't judge me, people listening. But dude, the window is gone. Like, it's gotten, I've just seen it over the last like 4 weeks just get increasingly more and more competitive. And now I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this idea anymore.
Yeah, it feels like you can have like, it's the same with my company, right? Headshot Pro. We do AI headshot generation. Like, when we started out, there were like 3-4 competitors, and then suddenly like these AI boilerplates came out and there will be 1,000 competitors trying to build the same idea. I do believe like everyone is gone now again, mostly because clicks are going to be too high. It's too high to rank for it. There's too much competition. So the top three will always win. We got lucky that we're in the top three with right now. So I do think you can still compete in like in a busy market, but you got to be fast, man. I don't think you can. If it comes to that AI stuff, I don't think you can come in a year later and try to merge your way into it. It's probably too late with those kind of tools. That's what I'm saying. You got to be like, you got to be on Ahrefs. You got to find those niches, those keywords that haven't been utilized yet that are like on 0 to 5 keyword difficulty, and build those things before it's too late. Because in 2 years, it's not going to be, the gold rush is going to be over. I think it's going to be too late in that sense. So yeah.
The gold rush is going to be over and Danny's going to be dressed in an all gold suit with a gold presidential Rolex and a gold crown.
Wish, man. I'm too busy. I can't do that stuff. That's why we got to share the ideas here, man.
No, I think you're doing all the right things. So, I wouldn't be surprised. Let's move over to our idea number two, the comfy UI marketplace.
Man, how technically is your audience? Before I'm going to go super technical terms here.
They're mostly non-technical, but it is a subset of people who get it. Like, it, you know, indie hackers building stuff. So that crew will understand what you're saying.
All right. So how am I going to translate this to everyone that can understand? Okay. So before, when I started like 2 years ago, if you want to do anything with machine learning that's deeper, like with AI that's deeper than just calling ChatGPT, you had to write Python, right? Python is a language where every AI stuff is built in, PyTorch and whatever. Like, you need to write the code. I think a few months ago, and I found about this 2 weeks ago, which is, I'm pretty late to the party. It's called Comfy UI. And it's basically just a really nice interface that has a drag and drop. You can just drag in nodes that you can connect to other nodes. And you can basically just build a visual pipeline where you have inputs, you do something with the data, and you have outputs with it. So a lot of, like, I'm now rebuilding all my Python stuff to Comfy UI because it's so much easier to work with. It's so much better to work with. You can just also run it in the cloud now and replicate. But what I've seen lately is a lot of YouTubers are actually making tutorials on how to build these workflows. So what if instead of all these YouTube tutorials, there will be a Comfy UI marketplace where people can just basically sell these templates that they build? Because you can export it. You can save it. You can export it. You could rent them out. You can let people use it and basically charge like a fee for it. I think in the next few months, this is going to be huge. I think a lot of people are going to move to Comfy UI. There's a lot of tools being built now that allow you to really easily work with it. I think this is going to be the next kind of wave in AI right now that we're going to migrate there. And there's a ton of indie hackers, man, that sell boilerplates for programming, for code. I'm pretty sure you can like capitalize on this with Comfy UI. If I wasn't busy, this is the idea I would be working on. We're too fucking busy, so I'm not going to do it. So there must be someone in your audience that can start working on this.
I saw this when this was in your list, and I almost was shocked that you shared it.
Yeah,
because this is a pretty low risk, high impact idea that a really, really small team could do. One of there's two things, there's a couple things I look at when I'm like, should I go into this space? And one of them is there an influx of YouTube tutorials? So I've also noticed the same thing. There's been a huge increase in the tutorial space in this space, and it's kind of like that guy, what's his name, Easlo, in the Notion template space. Mm-hmm. So there's a YouTuber who has like, I don't know, 500,000 YouTube subs, and the guy's like printing millions of dollars a year selling YouTube templates. Like, you just apply that model to this. And the second thing I noticed with Comfy UI in general is their subreddit has skyrocketed in terms of membership. So it's now a top, you know, 3 or 4% subreddit, which is just a sign that there's something here.
It feels like every smart person I see on Twitter is kind of working on this. The reason I was keeping this one secret and this morning was walking with a dog, and like, I'm not allowed to work on another idea anymore. I need to stop doing it because I'm being so busy with all my other stuff. So I'm like thinking, all right, how am I want this because we use this stuff. I would love more templates. How am I going to stop myself but still bring it in the world? I was like, I'm just going to share it on the podcast. I don't, yeah, just it needs to exist. And I think someone's going to print absolute money with this.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs to exist. And I will say, though, your audience is like pretty perfect for something like this. Would you ever consider partnering with someone?
So this is funny because 1.5 years ago, you told me to start doing something with my AI influencer, and I started doing it, and it turned into Headshot Pro. So maybe we're on an inflection point where Greg tells me, go do this yourself, and like it builds into the next big business. But yeah, I've been thinking about like, I'm too busy. Should I just partner up with people, use my audience, like a lot of indie hackers, like a lot of people are doing these days? Partner up in that sense. So if someone's listening here, they got some skills and I want to partner up, holler me on Twitter. I think it's going to be in the show notes later.
Yes,
I'll be down.
I will. Yeah. I mean, why not? Right. Like I think that's just an interesting thing for creators. This is kind of like a side tangent, but like if you're a creator or you're someone with an audience who has access to an audience, of course you want to work on your own ideas and you want to focus on your own ideas, but how do you partner and just take pieces of businesses where you can, there's someone that you trust that's going to go and like build this thing. So, you know, I don't know what equity percentage that is. Like if you take 30%, 40%, 50%, what that is, but there's probably a deal that you can make there.
Do you have experience in this? Have you seen people start doing this successfully with their audience and their brand?
Yeah, I mean, like the Nick Hubers, the Sean Puris, the Sahil Blooms, those people, you know, Austin Reef with Oceans, co-founder of Morning Brew. It's happening. I haven't done it a lot myself because the truth is I haven't been able to find like people I really trust, and I'm scared to work with someone who is gonna blow it for me, right? So I'm making a conscious effort to like meet interesting entrepreneurs, so hopefully I can partner with them and bring them into the Late Checkout ecosystem.
Yeah it's hard, dude, man. You need to have a whole combination of a person you're gonna work with. It's not just like, yeah, they need to be entrepreneurial, so why wouldn't they do it by themselves? How would you partner up with someone, start a company with them? Yeah, it's a big step, man.
You have to offer something more than just an audience, in my opinion. Like, so like my offering to people is like capital, design, SEO, paid ads, audience. But yeah, you do one or two of, my point is, if you do one or two of those a year that really work out, like you're good, you know? You're good.
But then the thing is like, do you want to be completely distracted from what else you're working on and like focus on those parts if you have like a busy business, I think, in that sense?
Yeah.
Like for me, for example, I'm still in the running in my company. I've got a team, right? But I'm still like working full time on it. Like being able to support another business, is that like something you want to work on? That's the thing. Do you want to sacrifice more of your free time after so many years of doing that? So that's like the inflection point.
To me, it's high leverage work to do that. You're essentially advising someone else. And if you're you or you're me or you're, or frankly, you're listening to this podcast, you have an unfair advantage because you know where the world is going. So if you know where the world is going, it's like, how can you, I mean, we talked about this last time, a year and a half ago when you came on the pod. It was like, I was like, dude, how are you not building, doubling down on this and doubling down on this.
There's some big companies doing that now. So
yeah,
1.5 years ago, you told me go start this AI influencer agency, whatever. Man, people are doing big stuff in that space.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the holdco model, and it doesn't necessarily need to be incubate everything yourself. You can just, you know, partner with someone. All right, I want to move on to the next idea, Fiverr Upwork 2.0.
Yeah. So I don't think anyone's built anything like this yet, or at least it doesn't feel like it. So basically Fiverr Upwork, obviously freelance platform, right? You go there, you want to have a job done, you find a freelancer and you work for it. Basically all the time tracking goes via the platform too. So it's, with AI, it feels like a lot of these jobs don't exist anymore because most of the things are automated. But what I think where they should go, and I don't even know if they're doing this yet or if they can doing it yet, Well, what people, there's a difference now. If you want to heavily use AI, you need to be a programmer, right? You need to build your own APIs. You cannot just like only put it in ChatGPT. It's going to be too hard. So what I would build is basically a clone of Fiverr or Upwork, but you don't hire people. You basically hire MLMs, LLMs, AI bots and whatever. Basically workflows that have been built for you that can do the work for you. But it doesn't feel like you're working with AI. It literally just feels like you're hiring someone to do it, but it's not the person, it's the AI doing it. For example, I think before you would go to Upwork for like a translation job, right? So you have an Excel sheet, you find a freelancer, he's going to translate it, and you get the stuff back later. This could be now 100% automated. You don't need a person to do this anymore. But I think a lot of like normies, regular people, they might be afraid of AI. So if you just literally make a job website where you can go and there's literally a translate option, you drop your Excel, and then a day later, for example, you get your Excel sheet back that's translated. And the back end is all AI doing it. It's like 100% AI, it's automated. I think that would be so much easier to sell. And it's basically just, yeah, the future of working, the future of jobs.
Someone in the comment section is going to be like, but why wouldn't you just use Google Translate?
Probably because Google Translate is not good enough and someone doesn't want to put 10,000 rows of Excel in a Google Translate. That's exactly the thing. You either got to build the API yourself and need to know how to program, or you're going to go to Upwork and let someone else do it. You're going to be the person that literally already built the API, but you're going to make it feel like it's up.
And that's the other thing is, big, especially bigger companies, they want automations. So they want the ability to be like, okay, I put this in an Airtable, and anytime I put it into an Airtable, this Airtable, like this task is made. And with it, I know that within 24 hours, there's going to be the output. And to me, it's worth paying whatever it is per month or per task, because now all of a sudden, I don't have the worry that if I put it in Google Translate, that it's going to be messed up. I can like trust this source.
Well, and it's also like, you don't want to babysit it, right? You don't want to check it. You don't want to fact check it. You don't want to see if it's working. You basically just want to dump your stuff, give the task, and you want to get back what you paid for, and don't use your time in that sense.
That's kind of a good name for this. Dumpyourstuff.com.
Let's see. Is it already taken? Dumpyourstuff.com.
Yeah, and then the logo could be like a toilet or something, you know. Don't.
You can have your own AI translate. Dumpyourstuff.com is taken, man. I'm so sorry.
Damn. What about dumpyourstuff.ai though?
Yeah, .ai, $80 per year. You can register it.
There you go.
It, so the first
someone's going to register it. Well, last time I said a name, it was like registered like 1 minute after I uploaded the pod.
You got some good listeners, man. Yeah, but I think this one is excited. I'm just like gradually build it out. I'm pretty sure you can just have a community. Maybe this should be built on top of Comfy UI. You can have a community build out these workflows, offer it as a service, and then you just charge a fee over it. So for example, you can have some random guy in San Francisco. He's going to build this translation service, for example. You run it through the platform. As a platform, you change like a 5% fee and he charges you like 1 cent per row or whatever. So he can basically like offer his AI worker on the platform automated. You get a fee over it. And it's basically just this whole economy that just works in that way.
If you wanted to build this app, how would you go about getting customers to it?
I would probably just go on Upwork and just offering it as a service there. And I know they have a whole banning blacklist system against scrapers, but I know someone who made a workaround around it, so it's doable. You can basically just like, Airbnb did this, right? They made fake adverts on Craigslist.
That's
for
right.
For their hosts. And then just to fill the platform, you can just seed your platform in that way.
That's right. Yeah, no one talks about that, but that's exactly how they initially scaled.
And I'm pretty sure, like, and the thing is, you can just go on Upwork, you can see what is the most requested job that people offer or require over there, and you can just automate it. So the data is already there. You just have to, you can just apply to the jobs, offer it as a service. I think it's pretty easy to be scalable. perhaps you need some like real humans in the mix that need to do the checking, like maybe like some account manager that like checks the output of the job eventually. So you need to hire like someone via somewhere.com, nice plug for our friends, yep. to do the managing or whatever.
Yeah, I also think this is one of those ideas that you start scaling it, you get a bunch of press. Someone, you know, the VP of M&A at Fiverr or Upworks like sees it and is like, I need to buy this thing.
Because they must need, like I was expecting, honestly, them to start doing something with this, but I have not seen any of these two companies mentioning. Maybe they're afraid of the backlash because they run on the freelancers, right? So you don't want to get rid of that. I know their stock is down 95% since 2022. I bought some Upwork stock and it went to absolute shit. So they got to do something, I guess.
Why is it down? Revenues are down?
I haven't checked. Probably revenue is down. Yeah. 2020 bubble popped. But I'm pretty sure also people probably just expect that they are low-level tasks, right? Like their tasks are automatable by AI. So there must be, like investors must be super scared. Like where's the revenue potential?
Yeah, I just checked on perplexity.ai. Why is Upwork stock down?
Let's say.
There's been a decrease of revenue. So less people, definitely AI concerns. There are fears the rise of generative AI could eliminate many freelance jobs. It's not going to eliminate freelance jobs. It's going to eliminate lower repetitive freelance jobs. And because of this, lower guidance. So they're giving lower guidance because the real big idea, honestly, is you do a hostile takeover of Upwork. Like you figure out a way to buy Upwork. Well, you know, that's the big idea of this.
They would probably buy you out. Like if you can make this work successfully, they need to. They need to stay because they probably have a ton of cash on their hand because they didn't IPO that long ago. They are going to acquire you if you make this work.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, like my heart is hurting because this is such a good idea. The company is worth $1.5 billion, but they've got about $500 million of cash. So the company's only worth $1 billion on like how much revenue? Let's check real quick.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, if I didn't have Headshot Pro, I would be working on this, but I'm too busy with it. So they used to be worth probably 20 billion.
Crazy. So in 2023, they had $689 million of revenue. So they're basically being traded at almost 1x revenue, like 1.2, 1.3x revenue.
So Fiverr is the one that went down that badly. Yeah, Fiverr went down from 320 USD to now 25. So it's down 10 times.
Crazy.
Upwork's doing okay because Upwork is probably also more up.
Yes.
Like they're doing more harder tasks and Fiverr is like literally made for the $5 task, right? Yeah. So they are in problem.
So this is there's a bunch of ways to come at this problem. Either you go and I think the best way, if I was doing this, I would just go and build what you're saying and then you're going to build a cash flowing business, but you can also decide to sell it to them.
Dude, but this is the thing. This is like the thing that I try to focus on now. And this is probably a bridge to the next idea. I'm not sure if I put it on there, but you got to humanize AI in that sense. And what I think everything is now tech-based, but that's nice for the 1% that understands tech, but you need to like make it, if you want to get products to be adopted, you need to make it feel like the real world, right? Basically how iPhone started with their interface, notes looked like notes. You need to make it feel right. So these people, they're not going to use ChatGPT to do the job, even if it's easier. They want to use it how they've been using it, but then on a different way. For example, like Headshot Pro, we don't focus on the AI part. We basically just, what we do different is before you had to go to a physical photo shoot, right? So you had to schedule a photo shoot, you had to drive there, you had to get your clothing, you have to pay $300. Basically what we do now is you just do it from your house. You take 15 selfies and the AI is literally the photographer that makes it for you. And 2 hours later, you get the photo. It's kind of the same process and we make it feel the same way, but there's no real human in the loop, but basically 50 photographers in the cloud that are making the photos for it. So it feels like you need to make the transition. You need to make it feel human, how you experienced it. So I think like these kind of ideas, stop doing it as an API, do it more as like a job marketplace, because it feels real. It feels how people expect to interact with something they've been interacting with.
Right. So yeah, let's talk about that idea. So you've done that for Headshot Pro, and millions of headshots are created per month. How would you go about thinking about another type of service? Like Headshot Pro for X.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they, for example, company doctors apparently have scribes that are taking notes, and how it used to work. I don't know which podcast this was on, but it was a really good episode. Probably, I think it was My First Million. They mentioned it on there. So basically they said this doctor had a scribe. So before they would be in person. Now they hired someone that was listening in from an iPad. Someone was literally asking, hey, who's that on the iPad? And we were like, oh, that's my scribe. He's listening and he's taking notes of this recording. The next step is you need to find ideas that you could literally automate with AI, right? So this person, like it's going to be, people don't like to hear it, but this person is going to be automated by AI because you have OpenAI Whisper. It can literally transcribe what you're saying. You use another LLM to summarize it and you're done. So this person, their job is going to be gone in 5 years. So this is like a job you could automate. Like you could target doctor practices, the scribes, literally market it as that service, but then instead of doing the services before, you replace it with AI. But you still sell it as that way. So you say, how would you market it? How would you brand it? Like you would just use the same kind of content. You don't even need to mention AI anywhere, but you just make it 10 times cheaper.
So I met a doctor recently and I was telling him a little bit of what I do, and he was like, oh, you're interested in AI. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I started using this thing called AutoScribe.
Nice.
What's AutoScribe? He's like, he said the same thing. He was like, yeah, we used to, you know how bad doctor's notes are, worst handwriting on the planet. I was like, yeah. He goes, now I just have this app. I'm in a beta test with them. I'll send you the link here.
Yeah, Toronto, California is one.
Yeah, it's a Toronto, it's a Montreal, Toronto company, I think.
Dude, it's wild. There's nothing else ranking for this search term. It's just Toronto.
Yeah, it's called, AutoScribe. But you go to their website, it's I can't even spell it, Mutuo Health. But if you Google AutoScribe, it should come up. Anyways, the way he goes, what it does is it's real-time transcription. And he was like, I can't tell you how. Okay, actually, here, I'm on their website. This is what happens. The patient consents to AutoScribe. Then it records it in the room. Then it populates in real time the information during the encounter. Because keep in mind, the doctor is looking at a screen that almost looks like a CRM and it needs to be populated in real time. Then there's an analysis that happens. AutoScribe creates a clinical note based on the encounter. Once reviewed and editing is complete, the note can be pushed to the EMR or copy and pasted. So it's like a pretty simple idea. He told me that he was like, I'm able to see 10 to 20% more patients per day.
And the thing is, like, even if he's tired and he didn't hear what they said, critical information, there's this AI that just found out what people actually said. And it's going to summarize for him afterwards. Like it's going to help so many people, man.
Exactly. Help so many people. I think you kind of
There's like one competitor. There's one company that does this. There's no competition. Like just finding like little niches where this works, where you can just replace what's normally be done by a human and like get it done by AI to enable more people to use it. Cause now every doctor can have it instead of only the rich doctors in rich countries, for example.
Yeah. And I think what you need to do is you have to understand workflows of people, practitioners. So you have to like call your dentist, call your auto mechanic, call your, barber. And you have to be like, hey, what are the things that you do that's really repetitive that you hate doing?
And this is the nice thing. You fairly have no competition because if you're going to make a note app, every programmer can make a note app, but no one is going to make an AI app for a doctor or whatever. There's no competition in it because it's boring. Yeah. They don't know anything about it. So if you spend your time doing it, you will have you're going to have the whole market if you know how to scale and how to do marketing.
Totally. And, you know, another idea is okay, there's a doctor, but what are other people that doctors work with? Well, what about the nurse? Is there something specific to nurses? Like nursescribe.ai, is that available?
I don't know if nurses use Scribe, but yeah, but even like maybe for like a dentist or not even a doctor, maybe for a completely different subject. Yeah. I know a friend of mine, for example, he was doing all these AI note-taking apps became popular, right? So he started doing it for veterinarians. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was no competition, but all these vets would love to have their notes taken and just have it in their app. But because you targeted specifically for that niche, they would rather use that than a more broadly consumer-based app.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities, man. But you got to be fast. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, this is going to be gone in the next 2 to 5 years. Like SaaS has already eat the world. Like everything is done, basically. This is going to be saturated in 5 to 10 years too.
Give us one, before you go, give us one last idea.
Ooh, I think I got the whole document done already, right? Was there anything else? Yeah, I would do this. So I had my first startup, I sold it to Jasper, which was a AI copywriting generator. I still think you can do this for, you can just make a marketing agency and have it run completely on AI without people knowing it. So for example, I have this domain for a long time, a headline 99, where basically you could just write headlines for people, their landing pages for $99. I haven't been able to do it yet. You could just send people questionnaire. They fill in all the details about the company. You have a bunch of different LLMs summarizing it, making headlines, getting 5 to 10 ideas. Put a human in the loop that literally picks the last three ones. And you give the best performing, best working headline for the landing page. And a headline can be like doubling your revenue if you have a good headline. So you could productize services. Like everyone is using software and SaaS now, but you have to remember these people using the software, like they don't know anything. So you need to productize the extra layer on top of it. You're probably doing that with boring marketing now with the blog writing or whatever. Everyone's doing it with his blogs, but I think there's so many different angles you could go into this and just basically build a marketing agency that scales to probably $1 billion in revenue without having a single human sitting there. Just probably just one guy who's just managing all the terminal commands and checking if everything goes well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there, and that it just goes into like the unbundling of the marketing agency and productizing it and creating these sort of autonomous SaaS apps, basically. That's a process that's just begun to start. So yeah, I think there's a big opportunity. And I think the smartest thing you did was calling it Headline 99. Like that's brilliant.
I just love the domain, man. I need to stop working on it because I really like the domain name. I have something with heads, Headshot Pro, Headline 99. It's like all the project with that word in it are successful. So I'm going to stick with that plan.
Danny. All right. You've given a lot of value. We appreciate it. If people want to support you and follow along, where can they do that?
Get a AI headshot on headshotpro.com and go follow me on Twitter. It's where I share what I'm working on, ideas and stuff like that. So my Twitter is Danny Postma with a double A at the end on Twitter in the show
notes. And if you like this episode, you want more Danny, like, comment, subscribe, share this episode so we know that you like Danny. I know I like Danny. So it's always nice. It's always a pleasure seeing you, brother.
Maybe see you again in 1.5 years and we do completely different things and I build a comfy UI one. Let's see.
Oh yeah. Well, you'll be wearing a crown and hopefully I'll be wearing a crown too. So
exactly.
Let's go.
Thanks for having me, man. It was fun.
Always fun. Later, dude.